Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't trust people who always know what God's will is. Now, I'm not talking about general stuff like God wants all to be saved, or God wants his children to do good works, or adultery is always wrong, or easy stuff like that. I'm talking about Christians who seem to be quite sure in virtually every situation specifically what God's will is. For this reason, I don't trust visionary leaders. Now, it's good to be a leader. It's good to have a clear sense of where you might want to go. But the people I don't trust are the people who leave out the might. They know exactly what the vision is that God has supposedly given them, and they see it clearly out there in the future. They're quite sure about it. I don't believe it, and I don't believe them. I don't trust pastors who always have all the answers, who speak quickly and have no need to listen, who are never stumped by anything in their own lives or in the lives of their people. In fact, I don't trust people who never struggle, because the Christian life always, sooner or later, means struggle. Now, I'm not just being negative here. Okay, I can be negative with the best, despite the fact that it's the end of summer school and poor Phil Penhaligon and I have to teach a week longer than anybody else has to teach. Okay, I'm not just being negative here. I'm feeling pretty good. Not just being negative. It's just that the people who are always sure of themselves and always sure of what God's will is are somehow missing Romans 8. At verse 17, the apostle says, "And if children, then heirs, God's heirs on the one hand, and Christ's fellow heirs on the other, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we also may be glorified with him." There doesn't seem to be any way out of suffering, struggling with Christ. Paul then explains why. It's because of the sufferings of this present time. It's because the entire creation, he teaches us, is still subject to futility. It's still groaning. In hope, to be sure, it's not groaning in despair. There is hope. There is certain and eager, hopeful expectation for the day when the whole creation will be restored and made whole, because God's children will be restored and receive their full inheritance. It's not despair. There's hope. But that's the point. Hope, Paul says, is something that you can't see yet. And we don't see it yet. And so often we can't see. We can't see exactly what God is doing. We can't tell exactly how his will is working its way out in our lives and in the lives of others. We can't see it. And so Paul says we wait with endurance, and we struggle and we wonder, even though, the apostle writes, we possess the Holy Spirit himself. That Spirit within us is only the first fruits, the down payment, and the full experience of God's gift is, well, not yet. And we don't even always know how to pray or what we should pray. The people who are always sure of what God's will is, who always have the specific answers to every specific problem in their lives or the lives of others, those people are not paying attention. They've forgotten, or they are not willing to admit that this is still the time of groaning, of suffering, of struggle, and of not knowing. And dear friends, that's why it feels that way to you. Some days more than others, to be sure. It may involve my own future? How is it going to go with me in the plans over which I have prayed and concerning which I have worked so hard? It may be my future. It may be the future of someone I love, my children. How is it going to go with them? What about the dangers that are all around? It may be the future of a congregation. Will the people respond to my ministry? Will they respect and love me and my family? We ask these questions, and our weakness and uncertainty rise up at times to choke us. Because that's the way it is. We don't know how it's all going to work out. Are you with me? Because now we're ready to receive the comfort of Romans 8, 26 and 27. For when we don't know, there is one who does know. When we are weak and uncertain, there is one who is strong and certain. God's own Spirit, the eternal third person of the Holy Trinity. When we are weak, He is strong. When we are confused, He knows. The Spirit Himself, Paul says, helps us. And He helps us because within our hearts that are filled with confusion and uncertainty, within us, the Spirit is interceding for us. You can't hear Him. The apostle says the Spirit's groanings are not able to be expressed. But you, baptized and believing children, sons and daughters of the living God, you possess this Spirit. And when you do not know what God's will for your life is, the Holy Spirit knows. He knows, and He intercedes from within our hearts. The Spirit is praying to the Father on your behalf, for your weakness. And Paul says, God searches the heart, and there He finds the mind of the Spirit. God speaking to God for you, asking that the Father's will be done in your life and in the life, Paul says, of all the saints. And so you don't have to know. And you don't have to pretend that you do know. The times may be hard and confusing. Okay, it's just part of the present evil age, the time when we continue to struggle and so often do not know. But the Spirit knows, and He dwells in you, and from within you the Holy Spirit intercedes. He's praying to the Father, and the Father hears, and the Father knows. And that's why in the very next verse, Paul can say, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Even when we don't know, we know because of the Holy Spirit poured into our hearts and the hearts of all Christians. Dear friends, there is great comfort in this. It means that you can relax. It means you don't have to be afraid. We weren't in charge anyway, and it is very hard on us and the people around us when we pretend that we are in charge. Great arrogance and great sin always flow when I insist that I know always and exactly what God is doing and that He must do it this way in my life and in yours. But Paul here declares that we are free. Free to turn from that kind of grasping and panicky living. Free to trust God. Free to trust the Spirit, even though we don't know what He's praying. But we do know. We do know at least one word that the Spirit is praying. Abba. Father. Galatians 4, verse 6. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts in order that He, the Spirit, might cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit addresses God on your behalf, not Master, not Lord, Father. And because the Spirit cries, Father, we are not afraid, and we cry, Abba, Father. Romans 8, verse 15. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery again unto fear. Rather, you received a spirit of adoption in which we cry, Abba, Father. We are not afraid, and even when we struggle, and even when we do not know, we are not afraid. Because there was another one. There was another one who cried out in a garden, in our place, under our punishment, and for our salvation. Jesus called out, Abba, Father, let your will be done. In love for you, he submitted to the Father's plan. In love for you, he suffered the Father's wrath over the sin of the world. He drank the cup. He died the death. He endured the hell. And of this we are certain, and we never doubt. This Jesus has made Almighty God to be your Abba. And the Father who sent the Son for us has sent the Spirit into us. So that even when we struggle, we are not afraid. We don't have to know. Because our Abba, He knows. Amen.